Isn't this a rich story? As Corky was reading it for us again, I'm sure it's one you've heard many times, and I'm sure that you've heard many a sermon from this passage. There's several great points that we can see here and address, but I'm going to limit really to just one. In that regard, I remember a story about a grandfather and his grandson. They were enjoying a vacation together, and they had been outside a great good part of the day, and it was getting toward dusk and darkness, and they made their way into the cabin, and they didn't want to turn on the lights until they had shut the door because, well, they just didn't want any of the pesky insects, you know, following them inside. And still yet, there were a few fireflies that made their way in somehow behind them. And Billy, the grandson, well, he noticed these in the darkness, and he whispered to his grandfather, "It's no use, Grandpa. Now those pesky mosquitoes are coming after us with flashlights." It's a bit odd to put it this way, but I kind of think of myself in a sense like a firefly. I'm here to shed a little light on something that's really important. In this portion of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, John tells us the story of Jesus healing this blind beggar. And Jesus tells his disciples that this man would be healed for a very special purpose a little earlier in the story. And he says there in verse 3, "Neither this man nor this or his parents sinned, but this happened," hear this very clearly, "this happened so that the works of God might be," bold print, "displayed in him." Remember that this morning. What happened was to display the works of God in him. And so Jesus brings about this man's healing. The people in this community at first couldn't believe that this guy's walking around and he had taken his leave of anybody who would help him, guide him. He was just walking around able to see. And they thought, well, something has definitely happened here. It's miraculous, it seems to us, and so we're going to take him to the Pharisees. They ought to know what has happened. And they take him to the Pharisees, and though the Pharisees tried to coerce him into retracting that this man had been blind since birth, they tried to get him to disavow that Jesus had anything to do with his being able to see. I believe that the Holy Spirit's led us to this story this morning. For me, it just leaps off the page because it illustrates for us the most powerful way that one can bear witness to Christ. You see, the blind man didn't go, he wasn't apologetic. I mean, by that I mean he's not declaring some theological treatise or truth, nor is he doing a bunch of biblical proof testing. He's not handing out pamphlets. He's just simply sharing his God moment. God moments are those times or occasions when we experience the grace and the power of God in our life. And without doubt, we know it's him. We know it's his hand. We know it's his love for us. And this man, simple though he was, gave a profound and powerful response to share with the Pharisees and whoever else would listen to him. You know, they, as you heard Corky read, they asked him about what had happened. He says, "I don't know. Don't ask me to explain it. I just know that I was blind. But now I see." Now, haven't we all, I hope, been there at some point in our lives? A moment. We cannot explain it. We cannot do any more than simply report that somehow in that moment God has touched our life. Somehow we've been healed or we've overcome some great obstacle or hindrance in our life. Somehow some malady has been taken care of. I want to share with you a God moment that happened with me recently. It was last Sunday morning right here. Yes, things happen here that you don't know about. When I came in last Sunday morning, my heart was greatly burdened. It was as if dark clouds of discouragement had rolled in and blanketed my soul. I felt like my preaching had been poor. I felt like there hadn't been any power in it, and I felt it not effective. It was not bringing about, at least that I could see, transformation in your lives. You see, I want to do more than inform. I want to be an instrument by which God transforms. I just felt like I wasn't making a difference. Well, I got here, and as is the case, sometime earlier parts of Sunday mornings, I get a text. And it's from my two pastor buddies that we have known each other for over four decades, and we support each other with prayer. And I shared with them. I said, "You know, I'm just very discouraged today." And they promised to pray for me. And I went out into the lobby and I sat down and was just kind of reviewing my thoughts about what I was going to be bringing to you that last Sunday morning. And Frank shows up. And Frank says, "Brother, you ready?" I was honest. "No, I'm not." And I told him, you know, I felt very discouraged. And so he prayed for me. And then I made my way from there, and I was coming up the aisle just before the service was to begin. And I was met by Lorna as she was walking in. And Lorna said, "How are you this morning?" Don't you love it when people are all cheerful when you're not? Well, I confessed my discouragement to her, knowing that we didn't have in that moment time to pray. She said, "I'll pray for you."
I did too.
I knew you did. And I, as I preached last Sunday morning, I just sensed the Spirit of God at work. day, he was parting the clouds, and I could see that there were some of you, at least, who were engaged. I mean, we were connecting, and somehow what I was sharing with you was meaningful and good and was making a difference for you and was assisting you. And what's more, he was speaking to me, through me. You ever had that moment when you said something and you said, I can't believe I said that? But it was good instead of the other way around. It was truly for me a God moment last Sunday morning. I mean, God met me right where I was. He didn't tell me, hey, you need to get over it. Now, my God moment's a little different from this story, isn't it? He experienced something different. But the only difference is how God worked, not that he worked. Did you notice the Pharisees? You can't help but pick up on their consternation. Despite all their efforts, they could not refute this blind man's testimony. Everybody said in agreement, he was blind. That's the reason we brought him to you. His parents had told them he was born blind. But now he could see. And indeed, God did use his healing to display his work in this man's life. It was evident to all that God had done something here far beyond the usual. Miraculous. God had entered into the world and into history and done something. You know, people can argue with theology. They can argue with biblical interpretation, as I shared that earlier. But friends, there is no argument that can prevail against what God has done in your life. And that's the kind of witness that Jesus has been talking about. Not just as we've read in recent weeks, but for millennia. Bear witness to what God has done in your life. When you engage people and when you hear their stories of disappointments, of the burdens that they bear, of the heartaches that weigh them, and that kind of things, you can acknowledge them. You can acknowledge their pain and the hurts that they have, but you can also say, this is what God has done in my life. He has sustained me. He's given me hope. He's even worked in ways that I can't explain. I just know that he did. And such a witness is genuine. And it comes across as being very sympathetic. But more, it comes across as being caring, and it comes across as being authentic. It's real. It's true. And there's really no argument then to be had. It's theirs to receive or not. I mean, the person's left with, depending upon the disposition of their heart, they may want to fight against it. They may not want to accept it. And they can say that, your story's a bunch of hogwash. But they can't say that with any certitude. And they sure can't say that with any authority. As one writer put it, facts are more stubborn than opinion. And you may ask, well, what if I don't have a God moment to share? Well, then we got another problem. Because you've arrived at that spot, one, maybe by not paying attention. Maybe you should go be checked for memory. If you have any inclination in your heart toward God, you can know. You can run down the catalog of your life, and you can pull out those places. Yes, God did this. God met me here. Oh, yeah. What we can take away from this encounter is Jesus will benefit us. And we see this in this man, and we see how we can be a witness like this guy. It was a powerful witness, was it not? He had them completely confounded. Did he list up any great philosophical argument? Not at all. He just pointed out the obvious. And so, like this man, we can simply tell people what you know. Isn't that a good principle to go by? Tell folk what the Lord has done for you. Tell them your story. No one's better at telling your story than you are. Especially in this case, your story of how God has moved and stirred and touched your life. Don't add to it. And don't take anything away from it. Just simply tell your story. And sometimes I've heard the excuse across the many years of ministry, well, I don't know much. Or I don't know how to witness. Well, I'm sure this fellow would have said the same thing, don't you? But again, he shows us that it really isn't all that mysterious to share your God moment. The daily wake-up devotional that many of you and I get through our emails from Seedbed included this past week from J.D. Walt a devotional on Wednesday that speaks to how we need to see our sharing of our God moments. J.D. shared what his professor in his introduction to the New Testament said. And boy, and when I saw that New Testament, I immediately thought, I wonder if that was Bob Mulholland. Sure enough, it was Robert Mulholland in the introductory to New Testament course. Well, I had Dr. Mulholland in college. In between my freshman and sophomore year, he had moved from McMurray in Abilene to Asbury to do teaching in New Testament and biblical languages. And so I knew where he was headed when J.D. lifted this up. When he said, Robert Mulholland, I said, I bet you I know what the question is. And the question was this. He asked this the very first thing of the first class of the semester. Will you be in the world for Christ, or will you be in Christ? For the world. The difference is that the first states that you're going to be attempting to do things for Christ, and it's dependent upon you. The latter question is about that Christ is going to be doing things through you. Believe me, that's a whole lot better. And it's a lot easier. And in sharing your God moment, that's exactly what you're giving Christ the opportunity to do through you, is share how God is at work in the world, how you have been loved and transformed by the power of Christ. And you offer that same love and hope to those who hear your story. My friends, Christ can work through you. He worked through a man who had been blind and begging all his life. He can work through you. Share your God moment. Share your story. Will you give it a go? Not just for your sake. Not just for the sake of others who will hear your story, and somehow the Holy Spirit may use that to minister to their heart. But would you do it for Jesus' sake and the sake of the kingdom? We're coming to a God moment. We have it kind of regular. It's as we come to share in communion. Now, we often do this. And who would want to try to count the number of times that they have come to experience and to have communion? How many times have you walk down this aisle to receive these elements of grace? Do you take it for granted? And yet, my friends, Jesus said, whenever you gather in my name, do this. He said, where two or more of you gather, there I will be also. He said that through these elements, I am present to you. This is a God moment. Let him meet you here. And you be present to him. Don't just go through the motions. Come, open your heart before him.